Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, this is Mac, and you are listening to Mac's Musings. So my guest tonight is Derek Brash, and some of you probably know who he is, and hopefully this will dial his number, and we will be talking to him in a few seconds. It's ringing. Hello, Derek. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Yes, I can.
Okay, good. I can hear you, so that means we're on the air. It doesn't always happen that way, so we're one step
ahead.
Right, right.
good.
And how are you tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. Where are you located anyway? I'm in Ohio.
So I'm in Illinois. I live in a suburb called Elburn. I live the outskirts of the city. I don't live in Chicago. I live in Elburn, Illinois, and we just moved here about a little over a year ago in July.
Ah, yeah, that's one of those places in Illinois I've never heard of, but, you know, why would I, because I don't live in Illinois.
Well, you know what, that is not a town not many people heard of. When my wife was talking about places to look at, she mentioned this town, Elburn. I was like, I've never heard this town. And so I never heard of it until up to like a year and a half, 2 years ago when we started looking. So I never heard of it. I'm 44. I never heard of the town either. So,
well, yeah, you can be from the same state and never heard of it, because there are cities in my state of Ohio that people have never heard of that have lived here their entire lives.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I live in Elyria, and if you go, too far, like, west or east or south, because we're closer to the north. If you tell people, I'm from Elyria, they'll say, where's that?
Oh, okay.
Because they have no idea.
I do a couple conventions. I know that they've been closed down because of the pandemic, but there's a place called, I can't remember the name, I'm drawing a blank, but it's in Strongsville, Ohio, and it's at the Holiday Inn over there. And there's a convention, and they have, like, celebrities, independent filmmakers, vendor tables. So I've done that a couple times. So I don't know if Strongsville's near you at all. But I've been to Strongsville, Ohio.
Yeah, not close to me, but I know where it is. You know, I've been there, so I know where that is.
Sure.
I'm sorry. Were you going to say something else? I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, No.
Okay. So about when did you realize that you wanted to start working in the filmmaking business?
Well, I knew that my drive or my love for film happened as a kid when my parents allowed me to watch, like, HBO and Cinemax cable. There was movies. They would have movies on rotation. It could be like Rambo or Commando or Rocky, horror films like Fright Night and Halloween. So, like, they would be heavy rotations. So I always knew I liked movies, I liked music and stuff like that. And then I think when I was, was watching a movie, it was probably 12 or 13 years old. I was watching a movie on HBO, and it was called Evil Dead 2, Dead by Dawn. And I remember seeing this crazy, crazy shot of the camera going through the woods, and it knocked the character Bruce Campbell down and through the trees. And I never seen anything like that in a movie. I'm like, and I was pretty young, so I was like, I knew I wanted to do something that was dealt with films and movies. And then once I got into high school, I took two like mass media acting classes and theater classes, and I knew from there, like, okay, I'll go to film school, get a degree, and then from there became a PA, a production assistant, and start pursuing film. So yeah, it started at a young age, and, you know, I attribute that to my parents and my dad getting a camcorder when I was 10. He would film Christmases or every year our birthday. So we had lots of stuff on VHS. So that kind of like sparked the interest of filmmaking for me, for sure.
Yeah, and that's nice when your parents give you some support and encouragement, because not everybody has that with their parents.
No, I'm very fortunate. Like, and to this day, my parents are still supportive. Yeah, it meant a lot. Aww. Yeah, they by allowing me watch cable and watching HBO and Cinemax, and I just knew that, I couldn't get enough of films.
Aw, well, that's sweet. Now, mm-hmm. you may or may not know this. A lot of people don't know how many credits they have on IMDb. So some people are really surprised when they find out. You have over 120 various credits on IMDb for all kinds of different things, like editor, cinematographer, producer, director, actor, writing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What is
right.
your favorite? What is your favorite thing to do if you have one?
Oh wow, that's tough.
It could be a couple. I mean,
you know what? I definitely like directing, producing, and shooting.
Mm-hmm.
Those are my three things. Doing that. When I direct, I'm usually producing the film as well. And when I have a project, I feel confident enough that I can shoot it and make it look pretty decent. I'll definitely shoot as well. But sometimes my knowledge of cameras and cinematography, being a cinematographer, is not as excelled as other director photographers. So that's where I hire someone that make me as a director make our film look better. But those are my three things I would say is those three key roles: be director, producer, and then like. Cinematographer at times.
Okay. Now, why don't you tell us about TV's productions and your website?
Okay. Yeah, so TV's, we started TV's Film Productions probably in 1999, right when I was finishing film school. Came up with a production company, and I did a short film, which was just something that shot around the area. It was very amateurish now I look back at it, but it was something we shot and got a cast and crew, and it was kind of the springboard for what I was when I would go to do my feature, which was icing. So that started in 99 was when I came up with the name of the company. I'm sorry, I think 2002 was when I shot my first short on my own while I was working as a production assistant in bigger productions. And then from there, that kind of, like I said, gave me like the tools to like make a feature. And from there, I've made like tons of movies or a handful of movies. And we have a website where people could purchase DVDs, and some of the stuff is free, free content to watch. It's got information on our crew, upcoming events. And that website is www.chevesfilms.net. That's C-H-E-E. V as in Victor, IESfilms.net.
Okay. Yeah, check that out, people. That'll be real interesting for you. Now, I would like to hear about these five festivals that you and your wife run.
Sure. Yeah, before we ran these five festivals we had a film festival called our TV Film Festival, which we showed our films and a bunch of other filmmakers renew, and it wasn't nothing where people submitted, and it was just like we just had like a fun festival. And after a while, we had a friend that runs a bunch of film festivals named Willie Atkins, and he had some festivals he was selling the name so we can keep those running. So we took on a couple of those, and he was very helpful in the process of the smooth transition. So we started, it was called we had the Real Horror, like R-E-E-L, Real Horror, Real Comedy, and Real Cinema Fest. Those are three festivals that we are kind of like, one is horror films, one is comedy, and then Real Cinema is all genres. And then we also have one called Hardcore Horror Fest, which is for horror films and stuff that might be more graphic or intense nature that maybe other film festivals won't allow. So that one was like more of like a gorier festival, like that some festivals might like not like turn their heads to. And then we just opened our own festival. We just started for the first time. It's called Real Doc Fest. And that one is just strictly documentary. So we have these five festivals going. Well, right now we have submissions open for Real Cinema, Real Doc Fest. And people can submit films now. As of now, the early bird deadline is $5 to submit. And we have two festivals that are playing online, the Real Horror and Hardcore Horror. Due to pandemic, we're doing it online because 2020 has been kind of a rough year. We don't want to chance it. But it's a lot of stuff, a lot of information. But, yeah, those are the festivals we're doing. We enjoy doing it. People submit a film, and you look at all the submissions, and we pick the best film, because you can only show so many films in like a 10-12 hour block, and then the judges, we vote with the panel judges, they watch the films and we vote like for best picture, best director, best screenplay and such. So we enjoy doing it, and it's a great feeling when you get the filmmakers posting that they got accepted and how good they felt, and you know, they just noticing that their films get recognized. So it means a lot to us.
And how can people go about submitting films to your festivals?
So if they go to Film Freeway, which is pretty much a popular platform for film festivals, they can type in Real Cinema Fest, Real Doc Fest, Real Horror Fest, Real Comedy Fest, and Hardcore Horror Fest, and it'll come up, those five festivals. So we're through Film Freeway.
Okay. That should help people out that want to try it. Yeah.
Mm.
Now, I'm going to – now, mind you, I am using IMDb, or I did when I did my research. I don't have it up right now, but excuse me. And I know that they're not always completely accurate, so if something isn't right, you know, just correct me.
No problem.
Yeah, the first one they have for you on IMDb – is a short right in front of your eyes. You were assistant editor, cinematographer, director, producer. You wrote the story. So you did a lot of things on this one. So tell us about that one.
So that was the first film that I did before doing my feature. That was the kind of springboard for my feature. That one is, I believe, on YouTube. It was on my website, but it's, if people see it, they're like, oh my God. And like, I don't know if I want to see his other work, but that one was my first film. It was like, I wrote this, really good story, which people said I should make a feature out of, but it was, it's rough, a lot of bad edits on my part, some bad quality, but that was like my training tool to make a feature. So that was right in front of your eyes. And one of the guys, the lead actor in there, is someone that's like one of my best friends, Brian Brosco, who we still are friends together. He stood up my wedding. I met this guy at film school, and now we're still making films together. He's from time to time helps me on projects. So that was basically my first film on my own that I did, you know, before starting my feature. So.
Cool. And it's always nice if you can make friends and continue to work with them. And yeah, that's really nice that he was at your wedding. No. So
yeah, I met him. It was great because I met him in 1998 at Columbia College, and what happened was we had you rent out a projector, you watch the film, like the stuff you shot in film, and you look at it and you go to edit it. So I had the projector and I was playing my footage of my film, and I had some funny material, goofy perverted material, it was a funny story, and he liked what he saw, and then he goes, hey, can I borrow the projector? He showed his footage. Same taste, and it was like kind of like we joked on love at first sight. So me and my buddy, we started becoming friends, hung out, and then we started working on projects together throughout the years. And to this day, we still like I talk to him every day. He stood up my wedding, so I stood up at his wedding. So yeah, it was kind of a one of my friends from film school that I do talk to, keep in touch.
No, that's always nice. I'm sorry?
I said not to sound too sappy. I apologize.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, it doesn't sound sappy to me. I like hearing those things because it's always nice, like I said, to make friends and to keep them because sometimes that doesn't happen.
That's true.
In 2007, I believe, you did I like the name of it, Death and Taxes. You acted in it, you were a production coordinator, and you did the still photography in that. So tell us about that one.
So that, when I was going to Columbia College, I got a call, the director's name is Kevin Merkages, and we're still working to this day now. He had a film that he was in the midst of doing, and he saw like that was, he was looking for production assistance. And this was, 2007, 2006, I think, and then 2009 was released. So he contacted me, and I worked on this film that's, I think it's on Amazon now. It's called Death and Taxes. And basically it was my one of my first times working for another director as a production assistant, kind of like he was a mentor to me. I got to learn about lighting and being on set and how the director works with the actors. So this was pretty new to me, and it was a really great experience. And that happened in 1999, and the movie took a while to get released. So yeah, that happened in I think 99 when I met him, 99 2000, before I did my my first short. And I learned a lot about white balancing, being on the set, lighting. I did some stills on the set, and was an actor. So I'm working with him today. We're doing a documentary as we speak with him. And so like he's like someone that I still keep in touch. And he's like I said, he was a mentor, and he's in LA now, and he comes back to Chicago from time to time. So he was like definitely someone that's that I'm still in touch with.
Oh. Well, now some of these I'm gonna skip, and then if we have time, I'll go back to them. So we might not always go in chronological order.
No problem.
Okay, good. In 2015, now I have to mention this one because I'm a Star Trek and Star Wars fan. May the 4th be with you, that short. You were actor and you assisted with the camera. So tell us about that.
So that was, it was a 48-hour film fest. It was something that my buddy, Pat O'Sullivan, wrote. And it was a project where you get an idea for a film, and they tell you a name you have to use in the script and a prop you have to use. And you got 48 hours to get the cast and crew, lock down location, shoot it, edit it, and turn it in to the Chicago film, like the Chicago location for the film festival. So that was like a fun short film we've done. We've done a couple of those. And it was kind of a parody of Star Wars, being that my friend is a big Star Wars fan, the one that wrote that. So it was May the 4th be with you. So that was a fun project. Something was like a real basic shoot. And, we sent it off to a festival for this contest. And it was just a really laid-back set. And I did a little acting in it and helped out as a crew and everything.
Yeah, I'm a big Star Wars fan too. I'm not the cultish kind, and there's nothing. And I've said this on other shows. There's nothing wrong with being in the cult, but I'm just not in the cult. But I really love Star Wars, and I love Star Trek. I just don't dress up as Klingons and use lightsabers and stuff like that. So, but otherwise, I love them.
Yeah.
Now, I did want to bring up that you've already mentioned it, so we might as well talk about it. In 2016, I think, The Icing. Now, in that, you acted, you were assistant editor, director, you were an executive in charge of casting and location manager, so you had a lot of hats that time. So tell us about The Icing.
So that is my first feature. I was in charge of pretty much everything. That's that would be the biggest film, first film for basically for Chibi Films, if you want to count like something that's serious. So that was something best friend of mine, who I'm friends with today, who was at my wedding and stood at my wedding. I was at his wedding, stood up. He wrote the script. David Myers wrote the script while I was finishing up film school. He goes, "Hey man, I have a script. Let's, would you be interested in making a film out of it?" So, let's make a feature. So we had one of our childhood friends who came on board, my brother. I directed it. My brother and my friend became assistant directors and producers. And we made this film for the first time. It was our first time doing it. Most of the people worked for free, with the exception of some money for this and that, for editing, getting maybe DVDs made, renting a theater for it. And that was it was a thriller, and we had Chicago Bears NFL legend Jim McMahon. He has a 10-minute scene in our movie. So shooting my first film ever, basically, we got a football legend in our film, which was great to work with him.
Uh-huh.
And he was great, and he told us that that was the longest party ever had for a movie before. And the cast and crew were amazing. That was right there. I would say I learned more in that film than film school. That was just like my film school right there. Working a full-time job, no sleep, We were like working 18 hours, go home, shower, go straight to work back. We were like killing ourselves, but it was for the love of it. We were successful. We, you know, put the movie out there, and it's got mini distribution, and we sell that DVD. That DVD is available on our website, and it's also on some distribution sites. So, yeah, we were very proud of that film. So that's basically my baby. It's like our first film, and we shot that a while ago. It took a while to get it done, but it was like a labor of love, and you know, everyone that was part of it, from the cameraman to the cast to the actors to the composers, was a big help. So.
Well, good. It's always good to have good experiences when you're making these films. It doesn't always happen,
yeah.
But when you get that,
right.
Yeah, it's really nice.
Oh yeah.
I think it was the same year, Murder for Pleasure. Now that one you did a lot too: actor, assistant editor, cinematographer, digital effects, director, producer. You wrote the story, and I think you were the sound editor mixer too. So tell us about Murder for Pleasure.
So Murder for Pleasure, that was my second feature. After The Icing was kind of in post-production being edited, it was taking a while to get that edited. I wanted to get the ball rolling for another script. So two guys that I'm friends with, Michael Miller, who I to this day we're still friends, and we worked together in films, and Anthony Pelizzeri, we both came together, and we would meet in the south suburbs by where I would work at. Me and Mike Miller worked at Home Depot, but the three of us would meet at White Castle's and get some burgers in our system, and would help perpetuate some ideas and get a good script going, like a real brutal and gory script. And so that's how the inception of Murder for Pleasure happened. And then from there, once the script was finalized, I had met my girlfriend, who now is my wife. She came on board, and I met her and her girlfriends, many who are theater people, and they worked on our films and worked on this film especially. And we came together, we made this brutal, gory movie, and that one premiered at Marcus Theater. We like sold out the theater as well, like The Icing, 250 people, sold DVDs, and we still have DVDs to this day. And that was a great experience. Yeah, so I served for that film. Basically, my main thing was I was a writer with the two other guys. I was director and producer. I did sound and set and locations and casting. And then we had a great crew. We had a great editor, a composer, a great cast, makeup artist. We had just a lot of great people on the set. And many of those people we still work with today. So, yeah, that is our second feature from Chibi Film Productions. We're really proud of it. It's definitely not for the faint of heart, but it's pretty brutal film. It's definitely different from The Icing. We have a nice range of genres in our collection.
And it should be special for you. I mean, I know it is special for you because that's where you met your wife.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, and she agreed to stay with them. Surprise! She had the chance to leave after seeing. Yeah, she had a chance to leave after seeing my demented mind what it can come up with. But no, she's amazing. She's like my rock. It works in all the projects, but that one we did so much work. It was long hours, and I remember we're like, "Are you sure you want to be dating me?" I said, "My film is like another love," and she's no, and she's like, "Let's do this." And she was very, very dedicated, very loving, very helpful. So, yeah, that's not many people like be willing to do that and sacrifice sleep and everything. But yeah, we were very happy to get that film accomplished, and then our experience got better from the first film. So we kind of knew from what I did in the first film, the second film we kind of learned too.
No, that's actually a really sweet story. Now I'm gonna fast forward to the stuff you have upcoming, because I want you to be able to have time to talk about them, and then if there's still time, we can go back. And if you can't talk about them, because I know if they're in pre-production, like Haunted Lenore is in pre-production, you may not be able to talk about it. That's a short.
Oh, yeah.
You're a cinematographer, director, producer. So if you're able to tell us anything, tell us about it.
Yeah. So I'm directing and shooting a movie called Haunted Lenore. That is a film that one-day shoot, pretty easy shoot. We're planning on doing it hopefully November or December, but we got a lot of film dates going on. But yeah, that's a Without giving too much away of the story, basically it's a woman wakes up in her basement to find a camera filming her, and she's unaware at first why she's there, and then some information divulges where the stuff that she's done in the past has come back to haunt her. So it's kind of like a psychological horror. And that film was written by my friend Christopher Sions, who wrote a movie called Redder that I directed and produced, and that we have that movie on our website for sale. So that's what Haunted Lenore is. That it's a basically psychological horror, and we've already had the rehearsal with our actress, Jenny D'Amico. We already rehearsed with our actress, and now we're just setting a date, and we're actually working on getting a date locked down by the next couple of days for either November or December. So that yeah, that's something to look forward to.
Cool. Yeah, that's the kind of films that I like. So I'll be interested in seeing that one.
Yeah.
Now, there's another upcoming that's supposedly filming that you're acting in called The Greenies. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so that one is my friend Willie Atkins. He directed and shot that film. We just wrapped on that. I had a small part. Basically, I'm never in front of the camera that much, but I do like to act. But I never promote myself as an actor. So we shot that last week. And that one, without giving too much away, because it's his script, it is a dramatic horror film. That's, I would say, I don't know if Willie would call that genre, but I would say it's probably a dramatic horror film. It's about two kids, and something tragic happens. And the one girl, without saying too much, one girl is still upset with what happened 20 years ago, and she kind of like wants to get closure on this event, without saying too much, to keep people's suspense going. That's basically what that probably that plot line is, and that's something. Yeah, I just I had a bit part as it. There's pictures on Facebook of me. I was painted as a green monster called the Greenies, and it's a group of these people, these cult figures called the Greenies. It's like a family of kind of like monsters, swamp monsters in the woods. So yeah, that was a great shoot. That was my first time being friends with Willie for a while. But it was my first time working on a set, so that was a great time.
Hmm. Yeah, that sounds like an interesting one, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, this one, I don't know if you can talk about this either, because it's also in pre-production. You are associate producer, production sound, maybe some other stuff that's not on IMDb. A short called Untraditional, whatever you can tell us about it.
That one is directed by Willie Atkins. My involvement is as a producer or whatever. He's shooting a couple films at our house next month, and that's what one of the films is for that one. That one, I'm not sure if I can talk about the script. That one, I'm not even sure. I still have to read the script. So, but yeah, that one I'm just involved as producer, being that we're using the location here, our house, to film a couple of the films, and that's one of them.
Oh, cool. So people will know that's your house. Woo-hoo.
Yeah. Yeah, we have three films that my friend is shooting in November, the same director of Greenies, and he needed a house, and we said, hey, we live 20 minutes away from you now. He's giving us like a producer credit, and one of the films, my wife is acting in one of the films. So, yeah, we're open to using our house. We have a new house, so it would be kind of cool to get our house out on the film.
Cool. Sounds really cool. Okay, now this next one that I have, it's supposed to be in post-production. You were a cinematographer and producer, and it's a documentary called Tail Dragger. Can you tell us anything about that?
Yeah. So that one, so the same gentleman that directed Death in Taxis is doing this documentary on this blues musician, Tail Dragger, which right now is in post-production. We're thinking it's going to be wrapped up hopefully at the end of this year. Couple more shooting days, but it's most of it's in the can. Couple interviews we need. That is something that that's the director, as I said, I met years ago, and with Death in Taxis, and I'm serving as one of the cameramen. I shot some stuff for the film, and also as a producer. And Kevin Berkage is a director, and it's basically it's the life of this musician, Tail Dragger, who went to prison for 13 months. He was in self-defense, killed someone. He was being attacked and accidentally killed someone and went to prison for 13 years. And that's what part of this, part of the documentary is his life with that and bouncing back and being a musician and his life and his life to other people. So it's right now it's the editing, it's in the editing stages. So.
Yeah, that sounds like it'd be worth watching.
Yeah, especially for the, you know, the blues scene in Chicago, lots of people. We had some, there's some really good locations in the film and some good stories from the subject, from Tail Dragger. So it's we're really happy about the way it's coming along. So
good. Another upcoming is one that it was supposed to be completed, that you were a camera operator and maybe something else that's just not on IMDb, I don't know. But it's another short called Imagine. So tell us whatever you can tell us about that one.
Imagine, I'm trying to see which one that is. That one I'm not familiar with.
Could be one of those. No, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just going to say that could be one of those ones that IMDb got wrong.
Yeah, I'm looking. I'm trying to see where it's at. Am I? It's called Imagined.
Imagine, like, you know, just imagine with no D on the end. Like, imagine this.
I'm wondering if it's a film that I donated to, and I just, they gave me credit. And it has me under which credit for?
Well, the one that it has is camera operator.
Oh my God, that one. Oh, I forgot about that. It was just something. That one was kind of like a forgetful film. I forgot about that, to be honest. It was something I was helping a young filmmaker on this and helping her get some crew for this to help shoot this film and. Nothing really came of it. So I know we finished it and we had DVDs for the crew, but that was it. I totally forgot about that. Yeah, that's, I did serve as cameraman. We shot that at apartment me and my wife were living in. Yeah, that one is, yeah, that's probably the one I forgot about. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
that
right.
One, yeah, that one's nowhere. Yeah, that one's not on any YouTube or website. I don't know if she did anything with, I know I have it on DVD, like a burnt copy of it. But yeah, that one I'm not really familiar with what's going on with that one.
Okay. Yeah, that happens, especially if it's not your own project, you don't know.
Yeah.
So now I'm sorry, were you going to say something else? There's like an overlap. I can't always tell when the other person is talking.
No, that was it.
Okay. Now I'm going to give you, well, let's see, we got a little over 26 minutes. So, you know, you can take your time and say everything that you want to say about it, because I know you wanted to talk about this film, Torture the Flesh, because you're trying to make it. I don't know what you've done yet. You're going to tell us that. And you're raising money. So make sure that you tell people how to contribute and if you're going to have a Indiegogo or a Kickstarter or whatever. So talk about Torture the Flesh.
Yeah, so Torture the Flesh is a script that I wrote, and right now we had a shot two trailers for the movie. We had a Kickstarter up, which didn't succeed, and then now we have a GoFundMe. So basically, we're trying to raise between $30,000 to $40,000 for this movie, Torture the Flesh, which is a gory psychological horror film, kind of in the vein of Seven. And we actually had a fundraiser, and we had raffle tickets and a GoFundMe. So up to March, we were doing pretty good raising money. When COVID hit, we took the GoFundMe down due to, like, everyone going through a stressful time with finance and the economy tanking. So we kind of, like, tapered off. We took the GoFundMe down. But now that we're speaking, we actually are going to be putting it back up probably by the end of this month, beginning of next month. We're going to, like, now put it up there for those that want to donate. If you just go to GoFundMe, it should be under a thing, Torture the Flesh or TV Film Productions. You can't miss it. It's where there's perks and it's an ongoing thing. So GoFundMe, we have a good chunk of money raised. And that one right now, we have most of it casted. We just have to get one or two of the leads and a couple other crew members. And we're still trying to lock down location. So that one With COVID hitting, we were hoping to shoot it by the end of this year or beginning of late summer, September, but now with COVID, it put us back. So the goal is to shoot it sometime next spring or summer. But that's our big thing today. That's the most important thing right now in our arsenal is Torture the Flesh. And we do have a Facebook page. And then on our website and my YouTube page, you can see we have two trailers that we have shot to kind of promote the film, which we're really happy with. So we got a lot of promotion for that. We got T-shirts made as well. So that's like kind of our baby right now is Torture of Flesh. And while we're promoting that movie, we're doing like these little projects in the meantime, which is easier to finance, easier to like.
I don't mean to interrupt you. Hold that thought, but I believe we have a call. So please hold on just
sure.
a minute.
Okay.
Caller, are you
okay.
there? Caller, are you there? Caller,
Hello?
Are you there?
Hello?
Caller, can you hear me okay, caller?
Yes.
Okay, you are on the air, and I have Derek Brash. Did you have a question or comment for him?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, I don't know how this happened. Sorry. I dialed the wrong number. Sorry about it.
Oh, that's okay. Don't worry about it. That's okay.
Thanks.
Okay, that's all right. Don't worry about it. Okay, Derek, if you wanted to continue with that thought that you were talking about, that's funny.
Oh,
I've never had the wrong number before.
So for Torture of Flesh, we have two trailers, and we do have a GoFundMe on. It's still ongoing, so people can donate. We took it down. We weren't pushing or promoting it because we felt kind of insensitive asking for money right when this COVID hit and when we know people are struggling, losing jobs. So, but then now it's been 6 or 7 months, not saying things are at the best state right now, but someone advised me, you know what, to GoFundMe up. People that can donate and they want to, maybe they want the perks will. Others that can't, they just won't. So I looked at it like, yeah, we'll put it up there and, and if people want to donate, we'll do that. So we're going to be putting it up at the end of this month after 6 or 7 months of kind of being on hiatus and get back to like promoting the film and raising the money we need like to cover the cost for effects, the special effects. We've got tons of that, the money for our cameraman and editing and all that cost that goes into it. So this is probably our biggest financial endeavor of any film we did, but and even if it takes a little time to make it the best product, we'll be happy with it. So
that sounds like it's going to be a really good project to work on. And as far as the GoFundMe, with COVID especially, that's the best way to try to get the money is with the GoFundMe, because there's no end date and people can just go in and put the money in when they have it.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. And with us, we've the GoFundMe, it shows how much we raised. I think it might say 2,000, but that's actually way off, because lots of the money we've raised too is through other things like raffles and fundraisers, and like when we sell DVDs at conventions. So it only so people might look and like, oh, they've only raised this much, but we've actually raised a lot more. So, but yeah, we're hoping to get the GoFundMe up, and then we have raffle prizes we're gonna raffle off too. So maybe we're gonna do that for the holidays, and hopefully we can raise the money we need. But we have a good chunk raised so far. So.
Well, that's good. I'm glad for that. And now, what is the story of it, if you can tell, without giving anything away?
Yeah. So me and another guy, Anthony Cooney, both wrote this. He's one of the writers. Basically what it is, it's kind of like I said, in the vein of Seven, it's grisly murders are happening, preferably to women, and they're investigating these murders, and one day, husband, we get introduced to this husband, his wife, and his kid, and unborn child, and we get introduced to them, and in the first 15 minutes, this man loses his family. He comes to this gruesome scene. The cops are there. They're brutally murdered by this serial killer, this person that's been supposedly the same person that's been killing everyone else killing all these women. And the cops, while they're just basically trying to investigate what's going on, he gets involved with the investigation. He gets in a way which causes tension with our two lead cops. One is our good cop. One is the bad cop who kind of like takes money for bribes, prostitution, is not the best cop. But in the midst of this, we don't know if it's the sleazy cop that's the killer, or there's some separate person, or is it the father. So it's kind of a guessing game. So, and then, you know, your times, you're kind of torn, like you're rooting for maybe the sleazy cop because we think that he's going to get the killer. So it's kind of a mixed, kind of keeps you guessing. So.
Oh, good. I like those kind of movies, and it sounds like it'll be really interesting.
Yeah, we have our lead actor. We actually have one of our, for the sleazy cop, is one of our favorite actors, a great friend of mine, Jody Bartolo, who's in Torture of the Flesh, and he's in four of our other films that we did. So we use him a lot. He's in Guardian Angel, Clown at Midnight, Mutilation Massacre, Mentis. We have him in five films, and I have a short film I'm writing now that I'm putting him in. He's like one of our best. He's our best guys to work with, and he's promotes us, and he's very supportive of what we do. So Jody Bartolo is someone people should look for in projects.
Okay, hold on one second.
Sure.
There's another one that's recent, like just this year, and you acted, directed, you were cinematographer, a short call, and I like the title, Cruising Through Time. So tell us about that.
Oh, yeah. So this was shot during the pandemic, which we were socially distanced, we wore masks. We shot this in June, so the same guy that wrote May the 4th Be With You, I shot this with my iPhone 11, first time shooting on my iPhone or using my phone. This was for the same thing, a 48-hour film festival. Get an idea, you shoot it, edit it, and turn it in within 48 hours. So we shot at a local bar called Crave in Blue Island, Illinois, which is a suburb right where I live. And basically it's a silly, funny, goofy idea. And it's about this guy that has this belt that he can make some travel through time. And without giving too much away, one of the girls in the film wants to travel through time, and she wants this belt. And so it's a funny idea. It's actually on YouTube. That one is one of the films that it's accessible to anyone on our website and in my YouTube page. So it was like a fun film. So we sent it to like a 4-minute film. We sent it to festival. Sent it to the 40-hour film fest, and it was just like a real fun project we did. So we do those in between the ones that were the ones that are like made a little more stressful. These are kind of like these easy, fun shoots, and that's one of them. The cruising too. So.
Okay. Let's see. We'll go back a little bit more to one that you acted in, cinematographer, location manager, producer, gaffer, who knows what else. Julie Smile. Tell us about that one.
Sure. So that is a film that shot for writer-director Eric Mattson, who's another friend of mine who to this day I still talk to. We keep in touch. Julie Smile is a film that, while we were doing Murder for Pleasure, right at the tail end of Murder for Pleasure, he was helping me on that. He had a movie called Julie Smile, and he asked me to shoot, and my wife had a part in it, and I had a small scene too, acting. And basically, it's a woman that is struggling with split personalities that she doesn't realize she has, and she meets someone that loves her for who she is, and they work out the struggles of what she's going through with this mental illness. And without giving too much away, it's a dramatic film, but it also has a little moment of fun. And it's uplifting as well. So that's Julie Smile. And I believe that's on, my friend has it on Vimeo, I believe, to purchase, I think, Julie Smile.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That sounds
yeah.
like something that I would like. I like those kinds of stories.
Yeah.
Especially when they're done well. Okay, what about, I didn't even put this down on my list, but I know you have one that's something about a werewolf, the lazy werewolf. Tell us about
that. Yeah. So that was one of our little fun short films we did. It wasn't for the 48-hour film fest, but it was for a little fun festival they were having at I think it was in the city. They were showing horror films, and they were looking for filmmakers to send in funny horror shorts or trailers. So basically, The Lazy Werewolf is something that I wrote and shot and directed, and basically about a werewolf who is played by my friend Mike Miller. It's this werewolf that obviously his goal in life is to kill, maim humans. Well, he's lazy because he gets out of breath, and every time he wants to go kill a human, he gets out of breath and he takes a break and goes eats. He goes to McDonald's. So it's very, it's a spoof. And we got a lot of people loved it. It's a real funny, cute film, and it's a kind of a spoof off like The Howling or a vampire movie. But then I'm a big Stallone fan. I absolutely love Rocky. There's a scene where he's training like Rocky Balboa. So it's a really fun film. That's one of the short fun films I love doing. So it's, yeah, my wife played Adrian. There's a part with Adrian. He played the werewolf like Rocky, and my friend Anthony Palazzari played Mickey the Trainer. There's a funny sequence. That's one of them I really love, enjoy doing. We get a lot of good laughs for that one.
It sounds hilarious. Is that available to watch somewhere?
That's on my YouTube page and on my website. Yeah, that's Lazy Werewolf. It's accessible to anyone to watch.
Okay, cool. I'm going to have to check that out because I like werewolf stories anyway, and I love spoofs. So, I'm pretty sure that I would like it.
Yeah, it's
now,
a spoof.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, it's a spoof. It's made to look goofy and silly. Like, instead of having a nice-looking werewolf mask, he has a plastic one, which is supposed to be funny, and that's the whole spoof. It's like a cheap werewolf mask from a dollar store, and he growls. You'll get the idea. It's really fun.
That's funny just hearing about it.
Yeah.
So tell us about another one about the same year, I think, Killer Claws. I mean, I can figure out what that is because it's Claws as in Santa Claus, not Claws.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
like,
that one, same concepts. We had, like I said, a bunch of these short, funny films that were festivals were showing people's short films before the main feature. So we did one about Santa Claus flipping out and going nuts because he loses his job and he just goes and kills people. That's like a horror comedy. My mom's in it. I kill her off in the movie. My mom's very supportive, and we put her in the movie. But that's another one we get a lot of good feedback. It's just a fun film, and that as well is on Facebook. It's actually a Facebook page as well. So it's on YouTube, website, my Facebook pages. We have a Lazy Werewolf Facebook page. We have a Killer Claws. So that's all free to watch. So.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's really cool. Okay, let's see, what else haven't we talked about? What about Mutilation Massacre? That was like the next year, I think, 2017.
Yeah, that was another. So that one, that's a short film we did, which that one can be purchased on DVD on our website. That's a short film that I wrote, pretty gruesome movie, and also directed. Basically, it's a daughter who finds out at school, dad comes to school, that the mom gets in a car accident and it dies, and it's very traumatic. And then it so happens the husband, her father, ends up meeting someone and starts dating. They marry, and the daughter does not like this, and she turns evil and goes on a vengeful track record. And without giving too much away, so it's a slasher movie, slasher film, and pretty brutal with some really good makeup effects by our makeup team for that film. That was Francis Melosi and Brandon Borgman. First time working with them, they did the special effects for that. And good cast. We had Jody Bartolo and Jamie Cody and Sarah Slias. That were like some of the main stars in the film. So we had a good team of people on that.
That might be one I want to watch.
Yeah.
What about the next year, I think it was Redder. I've never heard of that one.
Redder is the gentleman that wrote Haunted Lenore. That's a psychological horror film. Redder is basically a one cast member film, at, and it's played by Pam Bender, who I forgot to mention. Pam Bender was one of the main stars in Mutilation Massacre. I forgot to mention that too.
Yeah.
Pam Bender stars in Redder, and her character is basically a psychotic woman who kills her boyfriend, and she's kind of rationalizing why she did it in the mirror, talking to herself. And there's like a flashback here and there. And it's basically a pretty powerful monologue. She had to memorize all the lines, and she nailed it. She did a great job. But yeah, Pam Bender was the lead of that, and her husband, Matt Bender, who's has a small part in that. And they're great people to work with. We're friends, and we work on a lot of films with them too. So.
Oh, okay. What about Footsteps? I think that was the same year too. What about that one?
So that was my partner in crime, one of my best friends, Anthony Pelzeri. That was his second film. He directed a short film called Footsteps, and that was something I shot. It's black and white. It's a ghost story. It's about a gentleman that's haunted in his own apartment, and he's trying to figure out what is it. What is this ghost? What are they trying to say? And so he's trying to search why he's being haunted without giving too much away. So it's basically, it's 8 minutes short, and it's a cool, creepy story. And that was my friend's second short film that he did. And that's available. I'm sorry. Oh. That is available on my website. And also I have a movie called Guardian Angel. It's on the DVD as a special feature as well. So that one's easy to get to too.
Okay. Well, since you already mentioned it, go ahead and tell us about Guardian Angel.
Yes. So Guardian Angel is one film that we're super proud of. That was a departure for us. Even though we like all genres, we gravitate toward violent movies or gory. This was definitely something different from our company. And Guardian Angel was something that me and my wife wrote. It was a very heartfelt film in which she stars in it. And it stars Jody Bartolo again, just to name a few, Jason Sullivan, Bill Bailey. A good, strong cast of films. And basically what that film is, it's about a daughter played by my wife, Nina Trader, who is an AA. She's recovering from these demons and trying to get better and make wise choices and trying to get some closure in her life. And she finds out, she gets a call from her brother that her mom is on her deathbed, and she has not seen her mom for 10 years. She kind of left on a bad note and was kind of in the wrong for doing what she did. And it's basically trying to get closure with her family, especially her mother. And so it's a very poignant film where she goes to the hospice where her mom's at. And without giving too much away, it's a uplifting film, but at the same time, a tearjerker. So that one, we have that movie got accepted to a couple festivals. It was a semifinalist. I think it won second place within the last couple months. And it's definitely people that don't like our horror stuff. They're very impressed seeing something as heartfelt that someone can relate to. And right now, me and my wife are writing another script together that we're almost done. We'll hopefully have it done in a month or so. That's going to be the same type of feel, same heartfelt drama that people can relate to. And we're looking forward to doing that. Even though I like the gory and violent and action stuff, there's this other side that loves the stuff that pulls at the heartstrings. And this second film, the second script that we're writing right now, something we're going to shoot this one before we do Torture of Flesh, because it's basically it's a very cost-effective shoot, simple shoot. It'll be like an easy one to knock out before the big feature. And we got a lot of people that are helping out to work for free, so which is very helpful.
Oh, well, yeah, especially in the indie business, if somebody's willing to do anything for free.
Yeah.
And usually it's not free, because like I discussed this with another guest. It kind of works like having a painting party where, you get pizza and beer to, quote unquote, pay the people that are helping you paint your house. And it's basically the same in the indie film business. You say, hey, I can't really pay you, but I'll feed you and whatever else you want to give them. And, yeah, sure, I'll do it for that. That's the way it works sometimes.
That's right.
Yeah. Because I know if it was me and if I really wanted to act and I didn't need to make some money from it, I would do that. So all somebody would have to do is feed me, and I'd do their film.
Oh, sure.
Now, of course, if I needed to make money from it, well, then no, I probably wouldn't. But yeah,
right.
In the indie
right.
film business, if you need to make money from it, then you need to have your own production company.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of harsh, but that is the way it is.
Yeah,
now
no,
we've
it's,
really
it's,
only. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's tough. That's why I have my full-time job, you know, one that pays and benefits. Yeah, it's tough, you know.
Well, yeah, because and especially with COVID, making it worse, because you have to
right.
follow the guidelines, and you know, especially
yeah.
if you want to live through making the film. You have
yeah.
to follow the guidelines. You have to do stuff that you didn't have to do before. And a lot of filmmakers are doing a lot of their stuff remotely now, but there's only so much you can do remotely. You can't do everything remotely.
Right.
So then when you got to do the stuff that you can't do remotely, you've got to worry about the masks and the
right.
social distancing and all that crap. So I know it's really hard on filmmakers.
Yeah.
Well, we've only got a little over 3 minutes, so maybe if you actually, I don't think that's enough time to go over another film,
okay.
so I think I'll just
yeah.
get ready to close the show out. Usually what I do near the end is I ask the guest to tell people the best way or preferred way, whichever way you want to look at it, to contact you.
Oh, you know, probably the best way is they can contact me on Facebook, my Facebook page, Derek Brash, or Chibi Film Production page, either one. Are we allowed to, I also, my phone number's on there, too. I can, I don't know if you want me to say my phone number, but my phone number is available on Facebook. I'm kind of old school, so I still like to talk on the phone. If people, like, need a call and need to discuss stuff. They can contact me there, too. But definitely Facebook, I'm easy to find, definitely.
Okay, and for those that don't know how to spell it, it's B as in brother, R-A-A-S as in Sam, C-H. And his
right.
first name is Derek, D-E-R-E-K. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to just, like, jump right in there and tell people how to spell your
no,
name.
No, no, no. No, thank you. No, you're fine. Thank you so much.
Is there anything else that you want to say? Like, I mean, you know, whatever, because you still got like 2 minutes. If you've got something
well, I
you want to say,
thank you. I want to thank so much for giving us indie filmmakers a voice to put us out there. I want to thank you for this, you know, asking about Chibis and just making a show of this. Thank you so much. It means a lot. It helps to get the word out for audiences that I can't reach, you can reach out for us, and someone might like, hey, let's check out this guy's film. So that means a lot to Chibi and our cast and crew there. So we're all thankful for what you're doing.
Oh, yeah, that's really sweet. Unfortunately, right now I don't have a big, huge audience, at least not that I'm aware of, because you
right.
don't always know who's listening, especially to the, because I never know who's listening to the actual one that we're doing now, which is live. I never know who's
yeah.
listening
because right.
that's not shown to me. So with the recorded version, I still have kind of a small audience. But, hey, I just started in June, so I do what I can.
Yeah.
But thank you
yeah.
for the kind words. It's very, very nice. So I'm going to close
yeah.
out the show because there's like a minute. But if you have something else you want to say in closing, go right ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say thank you for everyone that supported Chibi Film Productions in the past, and just keep following us as we are trying to make our next feature film, Torture the Flesh, and check our GoFundMe and check our Facebook Torture Flesh page for updates, and our website, www.chibisfilms.net, and contact me with any questions, anything about our projects. That's all.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much for being on the show. This has been Max Musings, and my guest was Derek Brash, a very interesting fellow, and he's done some great films. Check them out on the places that he mentioned. And thank you very much, Derek, and stay safe, and have a good I think it's an evening for you. Have a good evening.
Yeah. You too.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, good night and goodbye.
Take care. Bye.
Okay, bye.